Have you ever been in a conversation with a group of people and had someone bring up an aspect of their childhood? Others in the group will also chime in with memories from their past, sending the whole group down memory lane. What implications do experiences like this have on the way we interact with our world? In the following essay, Aaron Zaraga and Hannah Michelson explore the evolution of nostalgia and how it has become an essential part of the way we live our lives.
I feel like we're eavesdropping here.
Don't worry about it. They don't even notice the microphone. Just let them talk.
I like the one about grammar because it had all the catchy songs.
We're sitting here in a dining hall on the Stanford campus. It's a Saturday night. Everyone is stuffing themselves with food before a long night of studying. And suddenly we're traveling back in time, almost instantaneously.
Yeah, I remember learning about my culture from Rugrats.
My favorite Rugrats episode, though, is where Dee Dee actually has a job and she's like, Chucky smelled like a skunk and had to bathe in the borscht. Remember, because her grandparents were like Russian.
They're talking about Rugrats, the show that aired on Nickelodeon when we were kids.
Oh man, I definitely remember watching that on Saturday mornings.
That was actually pretty cool. The green dragon thing and then the white tiger.
Dragon. My favorite is the pink one.
I had a crush on the pink one.
I know, me too. Two of them.
Anyone else?
No.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember when I was a kid, I used to watch Power Rangers all the time. The red one was definitely my favorite.
I was definitely a yellow Power Ranger.
I don't know about you, Hannah, but when I get together with my friends, we start talking about stuff from when we were kids.
People chime in and everything just starts to snowball.
We can talk about stuff like that for hours at a time, and it's not even an experience specific to our generation. Every generation reminisces about different elements of their childhoods.
I always hear my grandpa talking about the good old days.
People of different ages have different memories, but they're all nostalgic for the past in some way.
But there's something more here than simply remembering the past with fondness. These memories and the process of accessing them must mean something to us. The group seems to come together as a unit, and a bond forms between everyone over a simple shared memory.
Is it natural for us to act like this, or is something prompting us to explore the past with each other?
I used to have a friend, a playmate, who lived in Florence, Italy.
Amy Friedman is a resident fellow in a dorm on the Stanford campus. We decided to start delving deeper into this concept of nostalgia by interviewing someone with firsthand experience. Amy's seen countless numbers of students develop and grow into adults, and witnessed how they remember the childhoods they've left behind. She's also an adult herself and has two young children, so she's had exposure to different generations and how they remember the past. I walked down the hall to her apartment, and she invited me in to sit down in her living room. I couldn't help but notice the school portrait sitting next to wedding photos, creating a timeline of Amy's own development.
We used to go to her house, and we would run all around. There were just big meadows with flowers, and they had pine trees, and we would shake the pine cones out and get the pine nuts from the pine cones, and we were just completely free to roam around and not worry that something would happen to us and not have our parents say, you know, where are you at every moment? Mm-hmm. and just be completely in make-believe land.
Miss Friedman, what do you think nostalgia is about?
It's a type of memory, but it's specifically something that has sort of a poignancy to it and something, well, usually I think of it as something fondly remembered that might be idealized somewhat and isn't readily available now.
Idealized, yeah, that makes sense. I definitely tend to favor the positive parts of my childhood when I reflect back on my past. Everything couldn't have been that great, but it sure feels like it was.
Yeah, I agree.
There is a tendency to romanticize somewhat what the past was and to forget some of the bad aspects of this idyllic, whatever it is, situation or experience or something like that, because it's more convenient. I think people do tend to remember things in more black and white rather than gray kinds of ways. Either they were all bad or all good, but not as often that you remember sort of the in-between.
This is a common way of thinking about nostalgia, but why would we remember our past this way?
It's this loss of innocence type of thing. It makes me feel, well, there's a sense of sadness and a sense of loss and a sense of, as well as a kind of a longing to go back to that kind of era, not just for myself, but just for my kids as well. But, you know, the close friendships, the sort of innocent giggling and laughing and all that stuff, and even sort of sensory things of having the wind and the rain, and we would play all the time outside. It didn't really matter, and I just think that people are much less interested in having those experiences, so yeah. Then I sort of feel a loss.
It's interesting that Amy brings up this sense of loss, because it actually harkens back to the original connotation of the word nostalgia. It literally means a painful yearning to return home. Johannes Hofer, a Swiss physician in the 17th century, lived in a time when modern forms of communication weren't available to soldiers fighting in far-off lands. He saw countless numbers of fighters come through his door, wasting away as a result of intense homesickness. He coined the term nostalgia to describe this phenomenon.
A far cry from fondly remembering running around with friends on the playground.
Oh yeah, Hofer actually referred to this nostalgia as a disease. But as the definition of home morphed with the industrialization of the Western world, the meaning of nostalgia morphed along with it. Home was no longer as fixed in time and space as it used to be, because people could move around, so memories of the past were no longer connected to a specific geographical location. Nostalgia now referred to remembrances of the past in general, not simply homesickness, and it was no longer considered a medical affliction.
We don't see nostalgia as something negative anymore. Society actually celebrates it. Take VH1, for example. They've created a whole series of shows based solely on taping people's responses to seeing toys, movies, and TV shows from past decades.
But these shows demonstrate how we don't really take it seriously either. It must mean more than fondly reminiscing, though, if we do it so often with other people.
Amy pointed out that we romanticize everything from our past because we've lost something. Maybe remembering the past with others lets us deal with this loss. Okay, this group recollection thing is interesting. We were all children once, so we all have our own memories, but sometimes we bring them together in a group context and create almost an entirely new entity of experience. The individual past almost becomes a group past. Amy talked about this when I asked her about group nostalgia.
I think people sort of tune into the parts of a memory that had the most effect on them, and so you could have a bunch of people in the room experiencing the same thing, but you know, I may be drawn to one aspect and they might be drawn to another aspect, and then when you get together it could almost seem like a different event.
This collective interpretation of the past helps us connect with others and form relationships in group settings. We establish a group member identity by sharing our own thoughts and feelings about the past with others. It really links people together.
It ties you together. I mean, it's a common bond for one thing, and again, if it's something remembered fondly, then it's a way to re-experience it. And even if it's not, it's a way to re-experience it and maybe kind of metabolize it in a way.
Metabolizing, yeah, that's an interesting way to describe a memory. It's like we need to re-examine the past because we missed it the first time. It takes a while to process and digest these experiences we have, and we like to do it with other people.
It's not really processing per se, but re-evaluating a specific time in our lives and remembering the last time we remembered it, not the memory itself.
Wait, what did you just say?
Well, I talked to Christopher Noxon, the author of the book Rejuvenile. I'll let him explain this aspect of nostalgia because I obviously had trouble with it.
Yeah, just a little.
You know, memory is not so much about digging back to the original experience as it is kind of sorting through the files of the last time we made that recall. So it's all mixed up in our interpretation.
Noxon's book explores the belief that adults should have the choice to integrate elements of their childhood into their mature lives. He's done a lot of research on how adults interact with their memories from the past.
Childhood memories that you have now become that because you keep remembering them over the years, and they keep changing based on your circumstances in the present.
That's why remembering our childhoods in groups is so satisfying. A positive experience from our past will keep getting better and better the more we remember it. The group dynamic adds excitement and energy to the memory, and this sticks with the recollection every time we access it.
So, in a way, recalling those happy times in our lives almost serves as a way to cope with our rapidly changing lives. Could this be the real reason we remember our childhoods?
He's taking the things not worth having, but don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing, mama, 'cause I'll be standing.
The transition to being an adult is pretty stressful. You have to start worrying about car payments, layoffs, parenthood, romantic relationships. I could go on and on. We definitely experience a big change when we become grown-ups. Our memories of childhood help us out, though.
We like to have something solid from a past that we can understand and appreciate. We can choose to remember certain things with fondness because it gives us perspective on our existence and reminds us of where we came from.
We're also creatures of continuity. We like things to stay relatively the same. The jump from being a kid to being an adult these days is an especially jarring one. We can fix this loss of continuity between these two periods of our lives by bringing to the surface memories of childhood, when everything was much simpler and we didn't have to worry about the responsibilities of adulthood.
Nostalgic memories represent a past that we can look upon with fondness, but one that we secretly wish to return to as the world around us brings more and more challenges to our doorsteps.
Our lives couldn't have always been this hectic, though. We've only had cell phones, cars, and the internet for a few decades. At what point did we start to use memories of the past to help us deal with our fast-paced lives? Here's Noxon again.
I was astonished to discover when I started doing research is that the idea of childhood is a relatively new one. That I always had thought of this as sort of a natural human fact, but the kind of cultural and parental appreciation of childhood as a special, protected, innocent time only really took form in the 18th century, around the time of the Industrial Age.
So adulthood and childhood didn't used to be all that different. A divide has opened up between these two stages of development since the 18th century.
Kids were viewed as kind of miniature adults. The whole idea of childhood was you get them civilized as quickly as you can. You know, the idea of children as being this kind of this fiercely protected, innocent, special people was really... they couldn't afford that kind of luxury.
Now that childhood is so different, the transition to adulthood is a much bigger change than it used to be.
Yeah, I'm still trying to make that transition. I see myself where I'm supposed to be in 4 years, and I see myself where I am now, but it's really difficult to imagine how I'm going to get there.
Since being a kid and being an adult were such similar experiences in the past, people didn't used to be able to see a big jump between their present and future selves. Changes in our lives happen much faster now, and they're much more dramatic.
We're so much more fluid, we're so much more complicated and so much more conflicted. And, our memory is a product of who we are at present.
We remember what we remember because it closes the gap that has opened up between being a kid and being a grown-up. We've lost the continuity that we're always searching for. Nostalgic memories are kind of like a lasso that we use to pull our childhoods closer to us, inch by inch, until we feel like we can connect our present with our past. We can define who we are as adults in the context of who we were as kids.
And I'll remember the strength that you gave me now that I'm standing on my own. I'll remember.
So what we've come to find is that nostalgia helps us connect the dots on our timeline of development and to get a clear sense of who we are.
But from what Amy said, nostalgia is a reflection of what we've lost.
Exactly. We've lost the continuity between childhood and adulthood because time just moves too fast in the modern world.
Well, that makes sense on an individual level, but we've also found that nostalgia is a much different experience in groups.
Yeah, from what we've discovered, group nostalgia ties people together and helps us strengthen social connections.
And this is important because home is no longer a fixed location and space for us. Nostalgia helps us figure out where we fit in our social space.
When we're remembering previous experiences by ourselves, we're seeking to connect with our past so we can understand who we are at present.
Mm-hmm.
When we're remembering in groups, we're seeking to connect with other people.
As things change more and more rapidly, nostalgia has become essential to ground us in time as individuals and in space as members of society. If rapidly changing time and space is the problem, then nostalgia is our solution.
So society may not consider nostalgia a serious concept, but it's the fast-paced nature of our society itself that actually necessitates its use. The stress and disconnect caused by rapid change definitely takes a toll on the way we live our lives.
Definitely.
But nostalgia helps remedy these ill effects.
Nostalgia isn't a disease anymore. It's a cure.
There are places I remember all my life.
Aaron Zaraga and Hannah Mitchelson are sophomores at Stanford.